Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to episode 24 of season 2 of Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes, part of the National Podcast Post Month Challenge. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. I am really excited for this particular episode because there were a lot of funny memories that went into this one, and it's something that I think will be a lot of fun to revisit. For those of you who have not heard of the National Podcast Post Month Challenge, it's really simple. It's putting together 30 episodes of a show, whether it's starting a whole new show or adding 30 episodes onto an existing show. The challenge is to have 30 finished episodes done after 30 days. And I am very close to being fully caught up for this, and which is a good thing because today, as I'm recording this, it is November 29th. So pressure is on to get this wrapped up by the end of the day tomorrow. And to have all of the episodes fully edited and posted by the end of the day tomorrow. While I'm also doing interviews for my main show, Excelsior Journeys, The Road to Creativity. So with that in mind, I'm going to take a step back to the year of 1999. This was when my friends, Joe, Brendan, Dave, and Justin were all living together at 85th and Lexington. And I was a regular visitor there, crashed on the couch many times, actually wound up subletting for several months while Brendan was off doing a tour. It was a blast to be able to do that. And it was around that time, around 99, that's when Justin got his video camera. And all of a sudden, we started creating a whole bunch of stuff, a lot of different sketches, a lot of different music experiments, a lot of stream of consciousness stuff. The whole experience wound up being very creative. Like, it was the five of us plus our friend George, our friend Max would join us for some very insane antics and some other people as well, like as need be, as the opportunities presented them. When we put these sketches together, we were trying to figure out what name we were going to call ourselves. I remember for a period of time, we were thinking of calling ourselves Shenanigans, but it wound up being eventually just called The Sixth Floor. And that was because the apartment on 85th and Lexington was on the sixth floor of this building. And just to bring it home a little bit more with some additional style, we swapped out the S in six and put in the number six. So that's how it came out to look, just as The Sixth Floor, and wound up being a total of seven of us putting these random sketches together. And we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun doing this. And it's something that I will always hold dear in my heart. I love these guys as brothers, and I am just excited to see what the future may hold, because there are a lot of other ideas that we've come up with, different musical takes and different fun sketch ideas. Right now, they're just kind of sitting in all of our heads, but who knows if they may eventually find their way to getting filmed. Maybe they'll be on YouTube, or maybe they'll just be in our archives, whatever it is. But I look forward to the time when we can actually make those ideas become a reality, just like we did with all the other ones before that. It wound up being a really fun time. It was, and we were coming up with one idea after another. In 2001, we started thinking about the possibility of taking all of these different ideas and putting them together in the form of a film, very much in the same style as the Kentucky Fried Movie, which was the coming out party of David and Jerry Zucker and Jim Abrahams. They would go on after that to write and direct Airplane, and which really shot them up into the stratosphere and made them the comedic legends that they are. This was an interesting time, not only going through the sketches that we had, but also coming up with other stuff as well, coming up with different commercials and seeing where things would go with that. A lot of it very dark humor, but at the same time, very abstract, very surreal kind of humor. It was a fun thing that we did. definitely a fun little exercise to see what we can do. One sketch in particular, which was one that we wound up taking around and screened at a comedy club, was called Guaranteed in Stock. And this was one that where my friends Joe and Brendan rented me from their local Blockbuster. And it was basically just like, oh, it's the Remarkable George. And basically what it was they would rent me and take me home, and they would set me up in their living room, and I would recite whatever movies they pick out. And of course, they would pick out the movies that I really knew. So they would throw out Spaceballs. They would throw out South Park. They would throw out Star Wars, Star Trek VI, anything that was something that came to mind, something that I knew of, you know, at least a little bit. And it was a blast. It was a lot of fun, you know, what we did there. It was an interesting time. And we even got the Blockbuster employees involved with that. One of them, we just told them to have one of their people just kind of come out, take me by the arm, and lead me back into the store. And that was how the sketch ended. We put in some outtakes and made it like a big epic kind of thing. We used a lot of different music for different spots. And again, it was like one of those things where we just had ideas and they kept the flowing. We didn't really know what we were going to do with them, but we wanted to have them in video form. Later on, around 2006, that was when we decided we were going to put them all together into a DVD and we were going to screen them for our friends. And so we did that over at a bar, and it wound up being a successful screening. There was a lot of fun stuff that we put in there, and a few things that we did in the years later during the time that Joe and Dave and I lived together in Queens. We kept on doing some other stuff, did some lip sync videos. And there was one where I got to lip sync Nina Simone's Feeling Good while I was just getting ready to start the day. And it was fun. It was a lot of good times. And we even were able to use a rabbit costume, like an Easter Bunny costume that Joe had gotten for work. He had to return it the next day. So we're like, we got to do something with it. And so we did a take on Single White Female called Furry White Rabbit. It was where a rabbit shows up, and it was played by me. I actually got to be in the rabbit costume. We did a movie trailer of this rabbit that moves in and does really well. And he seems very friendly, chatty with his new roommate, played by Joe's brother, Charlie Kessler. And then because Charlie brought home a box of tricks, that sets the rabbit off, and he just starts thinking one rabbit per household. And so he gets jealous, stalking Charlie. It becomes this horror type of trailer. And we used music from The Omen. I remember that. And the whole experience was a blast. We even had me going to our local supermarket and picking up groceries and just having fun with the whole setup. Overall, we were always looking for different things to film. And that sort of creativity bled into our answering machine messages. We would try to come up with different things. One of the things we mentioned was one for December when it was getting close to Christmas time. We were saying how Santa Claus is not going to be showing up because he has declared himself a free agent with the World Holiday Organization and has signed instead with Cinco de Mayo. That was our outgoing message there. And we were always putting up, like, you know, just a bunch of random shit, you know, during that time. So, but that all led to a really interesting experience in 2002 when Joe was approached by Central Park in New York. They normally have a special event on Halloween over Belvedere Castle, and they wanted something different. They wanted a kid-centric show. Did he have any ideas? He immediately said that he did. And then we just had to figure out what those ideas were. He and I, for almost a full night, were brainstorming one idea after another and couldn't think of one that really landed. Then at one point, I said to him, remember that conversation, that answering machine message where Santa signs with Cinco de Mayo? What if it's for Halloween and Halloween is getting downsized? And Joe immediately said, and all the monsters have to get new jobs. Then we said, it's up to our main character, who is all about Halloween, to get them back into the spirit and see if we can get Halloween reinstated. The World Holiday Organization was proposing a plan to cancel Halloween. Our main character, played by Dave Havasey, who was a previous guest on Excelsior Journeys, we wound up coming up with a basic concept. Joe went ahead and started writing. And he and I started writing at first, you know, together. And then he went ahead and just took it, ran with it, and put together a damn good script. And then he brought in his friend Howard Beckerman to do the music and lyrics. We all of a sudden had ourselves a kid's musical. And it was good. We brought in some friends to play the roles. And in 2002, we presented it. The place was packed. Every show we did, we wound up doing about four shows that first day. We wound up doing it on Saturday and Sunday before Halloween. And it was great. It was so much fun. And then in 2003, it got even better. We were able to polish it a little bit, and a couple of our friends had to back out. So that we brought in a couple other friends, and they did really well as all the same. And it just got better and better. In 2004, we wound up doing it again, and a couple other cast members had to step away, and we brought in some other guys. And the whole thing was a great experience from 2002 to 2004. And then again, we did it one more time in 2010. And that was where we really went all out with it and decided this is our last hurrah with this show. So let's do the best show that we possibly can. And we did. We had ourselves a finished show. Joe and Howard currently have the rights to it. I was able to negotiate a deal since I was moving out of the area anyway, where I was able to retain credit, but they get the money for it. Put together a deal that was very fair to me and worked with them. And they're free to do whatever they like with it. I hope they are able to do more with it because it is a cute show. It's a lot of fun. It's got great music, great songs. The performances were always a blast. Everyone who participated in it, I was very grateful for. At the end of the day, it was a finished show that I had my name attached to. Joe Pospisil did a terrific job with it as our director and co-writer. And the two of us got to act as producers for it, and just a really, really good experience. I was very grateful to everyone who participated, both in front of and behind the scenes. I was really happy with it. And it came from all those sketches and different answering machine messages and all that creative juice that kept the flowing with us. We were even saying at some point we were going to eventually put together a movie. I still remember the idea I had for the opening and closing of it. And it was really simple. It was going to be called Untitled. And then in parentheses, it's a working title. It started off with a very ordinary looking, very basic looking romantic drama, family drama, showing a family getting ready for a wedding. It's played as straight as can be because the object of the game was to make sure that the audience felt they were in the wrong theater. I remember using the music from the beginning of Terms of Endearment to really drive home my idea of what I wanted. Everyone would get in their limos, drive in one direction, but then the camera would go in another direction and follow two other characters that would start the next sketch. We would never see that family again until the very end during the end credits at the wedding reception. We had some really fun ideas. It's a shame that they never went anywhere, but it is something that we have wanted to revisit in the future. Maybe we will. I don't know. But I know that all of us are still feeling those creative juices flowing. I know I am. If I'm going to be talking about it, I'm obviously looking forward to another opportunity to do this sort of stuff. I know that my friends and I have been talking about wanting to get together, do a little reunion, and even take a weekend or something like that and do a bunch of writing. So it's definitely out there in the universe. Who knows what's going to happen? But those memories are very dear to me. I am really excited to see what could happen in the future with all these sketches, with all these different ideas, with the play itself, which would be called Halloween at Belvedere, a monster musical adventure. It was a great time. And little did I know in 2005, I would be working a second time with Scott Laska, who would take over for Dave in 2004 for the role of the main character, Harold Owen Wien. He and I would work together on another project, which was a really interesting experience that I didn't think I had in me, but it turns out I did. I am excited to talk about that as well for the next episode. I hope you've been enjoying all of these different stories. I've been having a blast telling them. I look forward to sharing even more as we get closer to the end of this challenge. So until the next episode, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to heesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@heesgotit.com.